Will you bow your heads with me? Father, we just thank you this morning for Fernando. We thank you for the word that you've already given him. We ask you, Lord, that we would have ears to hear. We would have hearts that are open to hear your word this morning. Father, I pray that it would not fall to the ground, but Father, that it would die and grow into maturity. Father, that we would not forget the words that you desire to speak to us today. So I pray a blessing about Fernando, clarity of mind and heart, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Patty, you didn't know any idea of what I was going to talk about today, but that song list just fits right in with what we're doing. Especially that song that talks about the idea of burn away. You know, where he becomes more important than us. You know, John the Baptist was, even after he had made that statement about, I baptize you with water and you're going to baptize in fire, he says, I must decrease and he must increase. And we might think, well, that's sort of holding us back. It's not. It's actually bringing more freedom to our lives. So this morning, I have the title of a book called Live Unoffendable. And there is another book called Total Forgiveness, and another one underneath that says Forgiving What You Can't Forget. Now, since Easter, we've been on this series. And if I were to label this series, I would say it's the authority of the believer. And there's different aspects of that. And here's what I mean by that. See, since Easter, we've been exploring how these 12 guys who lived with Jesus for 3.5 years were handling this transition of living with him 24/7, 365, right? And transitioning their dependence from him to the Holy Spirit. Jesus was a person they could see, touch, hear, and they shared meals. Now, they're going to depend upon a spirit that they cannot see, but they can hear with their spiritual ears, right? And this shift took place right after the resurrection, right? Because he said, I'm going to resurrect from the dead, even though he told them multiple times that they didn't get it. But after the resurrection, he breathed on them, and he said, receive the Holy Spirit. I don't know if we have the slideshow up or not. Okay, so go ahead and go to slide 2, which would be the second one. Yeah, there. And then there was another transition. The second transition that took place was Jesus, they watched Jesus for 3 years heal people, deliver people, do miracles. But he says, now it's going to be your turn. You know, and he said, they're all, you know, they look at me like, I can do what you do? You might be asking yourself the same question. You mean I can do what he does or what he did? Is that really possible? Well, you won't know until you try, right? My friend Austin tries a lot, doesn't he? Right, Austin? Right? And if you're like Todd White, who said, I prayed for 700 people before the first person ever got healed. Or Dr. Randy Clark, who said, I prayed for 200 people before he ever saw anyone get healed. You don't give up. You don't give up. Right? So, this second shift, this idea of that they could heal and not just Jesus, this second shift took place when they were waiting in the upper room after they had been seeing Jesus after the resurrection, and they were waiting for the empowering presence to come down. He said, stay in Jerusalem, wait for me there, because the Father's going to give you the other gift, the gift, the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And we haven't gotten to that yet. And you're probably wondering, when are we going to get to it? But we will. But you see, there are certain things that sort of get in the way before we get there that could stop us in our tracks. So we have to deal with those things too. So that's why I haven't gotten to that yet over these last several weeks. So what we see is that these two incidences, what took place in John 20 and what happened in Acts 2, which is Acts 2 is right there, is that that's when they received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, where the Spirit came down like tongues of fire over them, and they spoke in other tongues. But that wasn't the real purpose of the issue of why they were being baptized, but they were going to be empowered to do those things, the signs and the wonders, the miracles, the healings, the deliverances, right? But the real transformation that took place in that upper room was, see, these 12 guys, they already saw Jesus get killed. Now, they knew that they could be next. So they were hiding in a room behind locked doors. But when that baptism had come down on them, they went from being scared to being bold witnesses in front of a bunch of people, especially religious leaders, who had the power to have them killed. And they didn't care. Even when they got beat up, they said, make us more bold. Let us keep on doing what we're doing. You see, and then most recently, we have been talking, like what Judy and I did last week, about the fruit of the Spirit. And that fruit of the Spirit is like God giving us permission to think, to act, to speak, and to walk like Jesus. But see, that only happens if you exercise the fruit of the Spirit. And so if some of the fruits you might not be very good at, you know that there's love, there's power, there's peace, joy, gentleness, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, patience, and self-control. And some of them you're very weak at, and so you have to go with the smaller weights to exercise that thing, right? But some of those you're really strong at, so you may want to pick a bigger weight like this one, you know? Or maybe if you're really at it, you want to go with a 10-pounder and just begin to exercise that. If I had my 15-pounders, I'd bring that one too, but I didn't have that. So, but we have to exercise the fruit of the Spirit, right? Otherwise, they never become stronger in our lives. And last week, Judy proposed this idea of an assignment to do for 1 month. Do you remember what that assignment was? Can anyone tell me what that assignment was last week? If you weren't here, you have an excuse. If you were here, you don't, right? What was that assignment? Do you remember? Did you guys write it down? Pick someone to practice for the Spirit on, right? Probably somebody you're not getting along with really well, right? Someone who is, as we said it last week, it's you practice on somebody who's getting right up your nose, right? See that visual image, someone getting up in your nose, where you just you want to rub your nose, you want to blow your nose. It's like, I want it. They're just too close for comfort, right? And so in that activity, you're supposed to pick that person. And, you know, like I said, it could be a boss, colleague, friend. And you got to practice the fruit of the Spirit. Because these kind of relationships are causing distress. So you're trying to deal with, how do I handle the distress that they are causing? Right? Maybe I should put this one down. It's getting a little heavy. Anyway. Here's the thing. If we don't use the fruit of the Spirit to deal with these situations, here's what's going to happen. When we treat the person who's treating us negatively and we treat them negatively in the same fashion, do you know what's going to happen? That negative situation is going to escalate, right? Do you want it to escalate? No, you don't. You want it to come calm down. Right? And that's why we need the fruit of the Spirit. So in essence, you know, the whole worship set that we had today is dealing with freedom. Using the fruit of the Spirit is a way for us to gain our freedom. And if we don't do that, what happens is this. We will have unresolved conflicts in our lives. And we're going to experience the residual effects of not resolving them. So it's important that we move in the opposite spirit. And here's another thing. Here's another residual effect. When I don't address my issues, let's say I have a problem with Mike, right? what happens? And I've known Mike for 10 years, right? But then I have my friend Austin that I just met last week, right? If I don't address this issues with Mike, guess what? Poor Austin is going to feel what I'm feeling against him, toward him. And he had nothing to do with that, with him. But I pour it out on him when I should have dealt with Mike. Right? You shouldn't have to pay for that, shouldn't you? Right? He'd rather not, see? You see that? He'd rather not pay for it. Okay. And I could just say, it's Mike's, it's all your fault. But it's really mine because I didn't do anything about it. Right? I didn't do anything about it. So you recall that principle we mentioned last week, and you can bring that up there. It says, opposition attaches to what you don't remove or resolve. Opposition attaches to what you don't remove or you don't resolve. In other words, do I want to continue receiving more and more opposition because I haven't settled issues with Mike? Because I've left things unresolved. It's just that tension is going to be there. That conflict is going to be there. I don't want that. Do you want that? Do you want to continue receiving opposition? Like it just gets harder and harder and harder. It gets heavier and heavier. No, we don't want that. So for some reason, we think that it's no big deal to entertain being offended. Right? We think it's no big deal. You know, because, hey, you're the one who offended me. I didn't offend you. So I have a right to entertain this idea of being offended. It's like holding a little grudge. So I'm going to use my weight for a different purpose now. So my weight right here, it's like a little grudge, right? And the thing is, with little grudges, if you hold them long enough, they become bigger grudges. And if I keep going, they become even bigger grudges. And they get heavier, right? So let's look at this idea of grudges. There's a progression that happens here, right? So grudges, they start out small and they get bigger, right? They're harmless, you know. I hold it and I nurse this grudge, you know, massage the little grudge that I have. And grudges like people who do not forgive quickly, right? You know what else you want to know about grudges? They like people who complain about other people. Grudges, in order for them to grow, they must have angry, hateful thoughts to get bigger and bigger. See, a grudge needs you and me to agree with it. We have to agree with it in order for it to grow. See, when it's small, I can pick it up easily and I can set it right down. But if I let it grow, it makes it harder to put it back down or even harder to get rid of it. See, but if I keep it with me, it's just going to get bigger and it's going to get stronger. You know what? I'm going to get winded after a while, right? See, but God instructs us. He says we should quickly forgive because nursing a grudge is sin. And it even says that in the scripture, in this particular translation. It says, if you're angry, so it's okay to get angry, but is what do you do with the anger, right? So if you get angry, and it says, don't sin by nursing your grudge. Don't let the sun go down and you still angry. Get over it quickly, for when you are angry, you give a mighty foothold to the devil. You see, we've been talking about freedom. You can't maintain your freedom if you keep on hanging to things that are going to start weighing you down. Right? And so here's what happens. If I continue to nurse a grudge, it's because I intentionally did it. Right? But if I do this over and over again, what happens? It's no longer an intention. It's just a habit. And I go on autopilot whenever something happens that triggers that grudge that I've been holding. So you don't want to hug a grudge, because you know what happens if you hug a grudge? It grows up to become resentment. So what does resentment look like? Well, you cannot hold resentment. Really what happens is resentment holds you. It's gotten big enough that it holds you instead of you holding it, right? And resentment makes you want to get even with somebody, right? You ever seen that look on people's faces? You want to get even with them? Oh, you should have seen what so-and-so did. You just wait. When they're not looking, they're going to get one of these, right? See, resentment makes you unfriendly to those you should love. So what is the opposite of resentment? It's being kind. It's being tender-hearted towards somebody, right? And the thing is, if you don't stop resentment in its tracks, what happens? It becomes even bigger, and it becomes the thing called bitterness. So what's the difference between resentment and bitterness? Well, I'll tell you. You see, resentment is something that holds you, but bitterness digs deep roots inside of you. And before you know it, you are completely entangled that you don't know who is you and who is the root of bitterness, because they're almost like one. Even to the point where, here's what bitterness looks like. One of the first things you're going to want to do is you're going to want to pull away from God, and you're going to want to pull away from people. You're going to be sick with hate, and you want to hurt others with angry words and hateful actions. So if you ever wonder if someone has bitterness, look at those qualifications that are right there. So we have a warning that's in Hebrews 12:15. It says, watch out that no poisonous root of bitterness grows up to trouble you and then corrupt many, right? So if you get poisoned by a root of bitterness, it's not going to just impact you. It's going to impact anyone around you that's close to you. And as I said before, if I don't resolve issues with Mike, poor Austin is going to get a handful of my bitterness, right? You don't want that, you know? You don't want any roots growing in you. No, nope, not at all. He's going to want to stay away from me. Aren't you, Austin? See, I don't blame you. See, because by simply entertaining a grudge, you know what we're doing? We're opening a door. We're just that close to just turning a doorknob to a door by holding a grudge. And when we open that door slowly and yet progressively, it holds us prisoner to poisonous roots of bitterness. And see, when bitterness shows up, when you have that going on in your life, guess what happens? I begin to lose my temper easily and quickly. My blood pressure starts going up. You know, I've been keeping an eye on my blood pressure because you never know. Yeah, I get irritable, sleepless. I have this obsession with wanting to get even with Mike over here because I haven't dealt with it properly, right? Or maybe I get depressed. I go into depression. That's another way to go at it, right? Another way to respond to this situation of my bitterness. Or I might isolate myself, right? Or I might just have this overall constant negative perspective on life. I'm just negative about everything. I always see, you know, like the glass half empty versus the glass half full. But yet all this can be prevented quickly if we just forgive often. That's all it takes. But you say, that's not as easy as you say it is, right? It's not quite that easy, right? And so Why is it easy to forgive or to forgive often? And here's the issue. We all have misunderstandings as to what is forgiveness, right? Because if I forgive, we think it implies certain things along with it, right? What does it imply? Number one, it implies that I'm approving of what that person did to me. Have you ever applied that? It might imply that I'm excusing what they did to me. Or that I'm justifying what they did. Oh, man, I must have deserved it. You know, I did something to somebody else, and so then that person, someone else did something to me, so it must have been, you know, people throw that word karma around, you know. Maybe it means to us that we're pardoning what they did. In other words, we're saying, you don't have to pay a consequence for what you did to me. Or reconciliation. You see, reconciliation, the issue with that is it takes two people, right? Myself and the other person. The distinction between forgiveness and reconciliation is one person it takes to forgive, but it takes two people to be reconciled. Number six, denying what they did. Have you ever felt like you couldn't forgive somebody because I'm denying what they did? Or number seven, I'm blind to what happened. I'm pretending the offense, the sin, whatever it is, never happened. And then number eight, forgetting that it happened, right? The issue is that God has forgiven every one of us, right? Is it because he forgot? No, it's because he chose not to remember. There's a distinction. There's a fine line between forgetting and choosing not to remember. Because when I choose to remember, I'm choosing to say, I'm holding this against you. Right? But if you look at Psalms 103, do you know what it says in Psalms 103? It has a whole bunch of things, but one of the key things that it says is that he takes our sin, you know, and what he does, you know what he does with our sin? He throws it away. You know where he throws it? As far as the east is to the west, right? It doesn't go in a circle. It's an infinite line. Whew. He distances our debts and our sins away from us so they're no longer associated with what we've done. That is worth praising the Lord for. Right? It also means that you refuse, we have this misconception that we're refusing to take the wrong seriously. There was a wrong that had occurred. Or we pretend that we were never hurt, that we don't have any feelings. See, these are all the excuses that we use to say, I don't want to forgive because it might imply one of these 10 things. Right? But it's not true. They don't really describe what forgiveness is. So let's talk about what does describe forgiveness. One of the first things is that forgiveness is something that begins with a choice. And it's a choice that I have to make over and over again. And it might even have to be daily. Right? You know why I have to make it over and over again? Why would I have to make it over again? Huh? Your flesh keeps arguing. Uh-huh. What else? I forgot. What else? You keep remembering it, right? Here's, for me, the key thing is all the old feelings of what happened with that, that's related to that incident, keep coming to my mind. They don't let me sleep at night. I'm having these conversations in my head. I can't sleep. But you see, forgiveness begins with a choice. And then after you've done it multiple times, eventually the feelings of forgiveness will occur. But it's a process. It's not a one-time deal. So what does forgiveness look like? Well, let's say, number one, you are aware that someone did something wrong to you, but you're still choosing to forgive. That makes sense? Number two, you choose not to keep a record of something wrong, of the wrong that they did to you. I remember when I lived in Spain, I lived with a particular family, and we paid them a certain stipend every month for rent and for meals. And I felt like I was being cheated of my meals compared to when you start comparing with other people who have other families and what they get to eat. And so I was keeping a record. I was of all those things that they were feeding me. Until one day the Holy Spirit talks to me and he says, "Do you want me to keep the record of the wrongs that you've committed against me?" You don't know how fast I had to tear up that piece of paper. I said, "No, Lord. My wrongs are greater than what I have written on this piece of paper. I am not going to do it." Nope, nope. Right? Because what does the scripture say? It talked about that the Lord's going to treat us with the same measure that we treat others, right? Whew. So he gave me an easy out. He let me tear up that piece of paper. Number three, refusing to punish. I'm refusing to hold it over your head. I'm refusing to intimidate you by every time that we're in the same room, right? I'm not going to hold it over you. I'm not going to make you walk on eggshells every time you see me because of what you did, right? That's what forgiveness looks like. I'm not going to tell what they did. That means I am not going to gossip about the offense that occurred toward me from, I already blew it. I already told you about Mike, what he did to me, right? No. I don't brag to Austin about what he did to me. That doesn't help at all. Austin had nothing to do with Mike. So why would I do that to Mike, right? I need to honor that relationship. Number five, it's the inner condition of the heart. In other words, it says, there's a scripture that Jesus says, out of the overflow of your heart, your mouth speaks, right? Meaning, when you hear people talk, you can tell what the overflow represents. Does it represent resentment? Does it represent bitterness? Or does it represent gratitude, joy, peace, love? What does it represent? You can tell. See, it's an absence of bitterness. Number seven, forgiving God. Judy, do you want to move on to the next slide? Forgiving God. Why do we have to forgive God in a situation? If I'm mad at Mike or Mike's mad at me, why do I have to forgive God? You know why? Because often I'm going to blame God for what Mike did, right? Why did God let Mike do that to me? Mike has free choice, right? Free will. I have free will, right? I'm responsible for the choices I've made. So I need to let God off the hook and not blame him. But so many people blame God when God had nothing to do with it. That person made the choice. Number eight, forgiving yourself. This is the most difficult thing to do, is to forgive ourselves. Even if we've done numbers 1 through 7, number 8 is the most difficult. You know why? When you create an offense, when you do something wrong, you tend to relive. I had someone write a particular word to me, and it says, "Fernando, do not relive your offense in your heart and in your mind, because that will keep you stuck." And so when I forgive myself, it's going to look like the fact that I've chosen to not relive mentally or emotionally all the wrongs I've done. And not only that I choose not to punish myself for the wrongs I've done. Have you ever punished yourself for something you've done? You were never meant to do that. What Jesus did by allowing himself to be punished and to be killed with the most gruesome form of murder that one could have is always greater than than anything you have done. But we try to say we're comparing apples to apples. We're not. What he did has a greater weight and frees us from the things that we've done to say, I accept the price of what you paid, what it took to free me, what it took to make me clean, to make me whole. And so number eight, I need to do it often. I need to forgive myself often so that it becomes a reality in my mind and in my heart. So if you're struggling with that, you have to take it to him and say, I come in agreement that what you did for me on the cross was enough. Was enough. And so why do I bring this up? What happens if you don't forgive? Let me tell you. We remain stuck in the offense. See, today, you are all presently here physically in 2023 on the 11th day of June, right? But if you do not forgive emotionally and mentally, we stay glued back to the date that offense occurred. So if it was a year ago, 5 years ago, 10 years ago, however number of years ago, that's the date that emotionally and physically you stay in. And you can't seem to live in the present. All because of the choice. And that happens because we rehearse. We often rehearse the conversations in our head about what happened way back then and how we still feel about it without any desire of resolution. But you know what? That's just a lie that we're buying into. Living back there does not allow us to live in freedom. So when we choose to forgive, we are living in the present. See, that's why growing up in God is priority, especially in the area of forgiveness. See, but if we don't make it a priority to grow up in God, we are destined to repeat every situation, every offense, every test that we've ever faced. So we have to make a choice about what we want to do when it comes to growing up in God. Do I want to stay stuck back there, or do I want to move forward? See, it's like being in the classroom. Now, you know that in schools, if you don't do the work, no one's going to pass it to the next grade, right? Yet we expect to pass. We say, okay, I'm not going to do any of the work, but teacher, you know, I'm a year older, so I should go to the next grade with the rest of my class. That's the kind of thinking we bring to it, right? But the issue is, in God's classroom, he gives us the opportunity to repeat the grade or to take the test over again as often as we need it until we learn the lesson. How often do you want to have the opportunity? Ask yourself that question. How often do I want to really relish this opportunity? I don't know. That's up to you, right? See, we can't avoid it. We can't pretend to avoid it. Even if we move to another country, we can't avoid it. You know what happens when you move to another country? That problem, that lesson, that opportunity, you're at the airport, right? And you're going, and you're going, and you go right by him going, oh, no, there's baggage claim, and I see it right there. It's waiting for you right there, right? Because, you see, our baggage goes where we go. Our baggage goes where we go. So the question is, why not work it out with Jesus? Why carry extra baggage? See, it's to our advantage that we walk in forgiveness and that we walk in the fruit of the Spirit. Because when we do, those wounds, those offenses, they can't stick to us. They can't stick to us. Because we're walking in that fruit. We're walking in that forgiveness. They, you know, those things that we held up as a grudge that can become bitterness and take root, they can't take root because we deal with them quickly, right? And that's important. And Scripture says that when you practice the nine aspects of the fruit of the Spirit, which is slide 16, if you want to go to that one, what happens is there's no law that can work against them. If I walk in these, there's no law that can work against them. Because I'm moving in the opposite spirit of those offenses. You know, when I do them, love wins. When I do them, joy wins. When I do them, peace wins. Peace begins to rule in my heart. So if I'm about practicing the fruit of Spirit, here's what's going to happen. They're going to grow stronger. And if they're going to grow stronger, I might have to use the three-pounder and exercise in these. But then I might have to move on to the five-pounder because, you know what? This is too easy now, right? So I move on to the five-pounder. I said, okay, I'm up to 5 pounds when it comes to joy, you know? And when it comes to patience, I'm in 10 pounds. I'm just working at it, right? And before you know it, you're going to have heavier weights for each of the fruit of the Spirit because these are ways that we exercise the muscles of the fruit. You know, if each of these fruit are muscles, we're getting stronger in that fruit. So I need to apply them to every negative circumstance. I need to apply them to every negative relationship that I have. So, you know, after church, I'm going to have to work it out with Mike as to what these things that I have against him, you know, because I've been exercised. See, my joy has to overflow. So I need to allow my joy to spill onto Mike. Not my bitterness, but my joy needs to spill onto Mike, you know. If I use my peace, you know, if I'm at odds with Austin, I have to let my calm him down, calm me down, right? Because, see, when I use my calm, I'm shifting the atmosphere around me to every person I know, right? I walk into a room, there's a lot of tension. Well, guess what? I brought my peace, so now we're going to have calm in this room, right? If I have patience, my patience is going to outlast your impatience. If I have kindness, it's going to lead to repentance, right? If I use gentleness, right, it's strength under control, which means that proverb that comes into play, a gentle answer will turn away wrath. You know, I'm not going to let it escalate. I'm not going to contribute to the escalation. I'm going to contribute to bringing a gentle answer, and the wrath is going to turn away and leave the room. See, those are the kind of things that we get to do because we've been given the fruit of the Spirit. So, my wife has something to say. Oh. So, you know, if you've given your life to Jesus, you already have the fruit of the Spirit. But you might think, I don't have that fruit. I don't have joy. I definitely don't have patience. I definitely don't have whatever you mentioned. You know why you say that? Because you haven't taken the time to exercise that particular gift, that particular fruit. The more you exercise it, the more evident, the more easily recognized it is in your life. So you just got to practice, you know? Just got to keep on practicing. But if you don't know God, God hasn't been invited into your life, guess what? You could get the fruit of the Spirit today. That could happen today. And if you want it to happen today, my wife and I or the elders will pray with you and we can make that happen. So in order to conclude today, do you want to lead this or do you want me to lead it? Oh, it was Austin's idea. Do you want to lead it? We want to talk about the fact that, you know, number eight is the issue of forgiving yourself. You want to grab a mic and help me with this process? I think, you know, whenever there's a message about anything that we have, there should always be an opportunity to respond, right? Because the scripture says, don't just be hearers of the word, but be doers. And often the doing is in responding to that which has touched the heart. So let's respond to that, and we're going to give you an opportunity to do that right now with whatever my friend Austin's going to share, which I don't know what's going to be, but, you know, it's going to be good.
Thank you, Fernando. So Galatians 5 is the passage that's being referred to with gifts of the Spirit. And Fernando and Patty, the worship team, talked about being free. And chapter 5 opens up, this is the NIV, "It is for freedom that Christ has set us free." That's the songs we sing that have that in it. It's great songs. But then it goes on to say, "Do not let yourselves be burdened again by a yoke of slavery." Jesus sets us free. Fernando mentioned it, as far as the east is from the west. But then we have a choice to go back. And sometimes we hear those little voices that say, you know, in the past you were familiar with relating to people this way or carrying these burdens, this guilt, these roots of bitterness. That was normal to you. Remember how nice that was? It was familiar. These are those little voices that aren't from the Lord. And sometimes those trip us up to the point we go back. We choose to pick that stuff up again, which is what Fernando's been talking about. Mm-hmm. And so as all this is happening, let's, if we need to, and it's not that anyone's bad that's made that choice. It just happens, and we can be free. Mm-hmm. And so let's take an opportunity to say, Jesus, I don't really know when I did this or what made me think this was a good idea, but I've picked it up, and I'm sorry. Would you take it away again? Could we do that?
Yeah. So if you feel that that's you can identify something that's happened, take a moment to stand up if you want with us and just saying, and you don't need to confess it to us, but confess it and say it to the Lord. Lord, I confess that I have been holding a certain offense against somebody or somebodies, you know, it could be plural, and that I don't want to carry them anymore, right? So please stand. Please stand with me. And in with your own words, right?
I just think that we need to respond if you want to. If you want to respond, would you stand with us? And I think that we just need to give it to the Lord as a out of obedience, saying, I give you either my unforgiveness or my resentment, and receive what the Lord has for us this morning. I know that there have been things in our lives that have hurt us and caused us to have that wall of unforgiveness. And the Lord is saying, it's a new day. It's a new day of freedom. It's a new day of forgiveness, that the Lord forgives us and we forgive ourselves, but yet we extend that forgiveness to someone else. And it's not for them. It's for us to grow into what the Lord has for us. So if you would join me in prayer, and you can close your eyes, you can open your hands, whatever you feel like the Lord is dealing with, if we can just go to him. Father, this morning, we want what you have for us. We thank you for the forgiveness that you extend to us, that we in turn can extend to others. Father, I just pray that those offenses and those times where we were hurt, that we would lay it down at the foot of the cross and say, Lord, I don't need to carry it. And the places where we can't forgive ourselves, Lord, I pray that we would forgive ourselves and give it to you, that you paid the price and that you loved us enough to forgive us so we can forgive others. Again, it's the fruit of the Spirit that we receive from you because you already live that way towards us. So today, Father, I pray a blessing for every person here, over every person that heard this word, Lord, about forgiving and choosing to forgive. I pray, Father, that you would open their hearts for more of you and for more of your healing. Because we are don't have a right to be offended, but we have a right to be healed. And so we receive your healing this morning. We receive your freedom this morning. There's freedom in this house, people. Will you take it? There's freedom in this place. So, Father, we receive your freedom, and we leave here this morning free of guilt and shame and free of unforgiveness, that we choose to forgive others. In Jesus' name, amen.
You may be seated. I want to give you one scripture to walk away with, and that's Hebrews 12. I'm going to read it in a different translation, but it says this. So let us let go of every wound that has pierced us and the sin we so easily fall into. Then we will be able to run life's marathon race with passion and determination, for the path has been already marked out before us. That's why we took the time to deal with today before we move on to the fruit, to the gifts of the Spirit, is because when we let go of the wounds, when we let go of the sins, our own sins, then we can run the race that's already been determined for each of us with less weight. I bless all of you in the name of Jesus, in the name of the Father, and in the name of the Holy Spirit. Amen. You are dismissed.